It is time for Behind the Beard WNC. Another iteration deep into the football season, and it's exciting. Lots going on in the football world, pro level, college level, high school level. But this podcast is four guys that get around and banter primarily about high school football. But we got to toss it out there a little bit. What's been going on in the college ranks and that whole thing as we get ready to start looking at the college playoffs, right? There's some exciting games over the weekend, right, guys?
Oh, yeah. Some barn burners for sure. Let's talk about one with no playoff implications. Let's talk about that fake field goal by Duke. That was fantastic, wasn't it, Carson?
Yes, it was.
Absolutely brutal. I mean,
kid said he'd never touched the football in a game.
I mean, it's one of those plays when you look at it, it's like, why does a team not do that once a game? Well, the answer is probably because it's defended better than
bit right in.
I mean, he bit so hard. Yeah. Thanksgiving. It was like he was going into
Turkey.
Yes. No. Fun fact about that game. Did y'all know the running back from Duke was Wataga kid?
I did not. Yes.
Is it Anthony Castle?
Castle was his
Castle
last name.
Was his
I
last
can't
name.
Remember his first name.
Gosh, did he have three? He had three touchdowns at least.
Yeah, he looked good. He got
dominated.
Hurt there in the middle of the game, but then came back.
So I thought that was cool to see because I saw you saw Day-Day Stone on the sideline. Yep. You had Castle from Wataga. So
Day-Day was in there.
Yeah, he's
when I watched, he was in there playing.
Yes. He's leading tackler for Duke this season.
Good for him. Reynolds guy.
Did you notice he shaved his head?
Hey, yeah. Mutual friend Jim Winfrey was showing me pictures. He's like, look, he looks like a man, and he's got his head shaved. I'm like, yeah. I mean, he's bulked up. You know, skinnier kid when he was here.
Yeah.
Man, he looks like a football player.
I think Austin and I calculated, I think he's gained like 60 pounds of muscle. He's still a slender guy. But the first time we looked him up on NCAA, it was funny. I'm like, nah, he's not bald. Come to find out, he actually was.
He is.
Yeah. Absolutely wild, though, when you think about, like, how you can put on weight like that healthy and the, like, those college programs, that is their job. I mean, how many calories do you think?
Oh.
Do you remember?
I mean, all the calories.
What about Brendan? How many calories does he eat?
It's ridiculous what he goes through and what he has to do. I think he's telling me he's drinking a gallon of chocolate milk a day on top of all the meals that he's got to eat, too. It's
I think
ridiculous.
That's an extra 3,500 calories because it's like there's a thing called Go Mad. When I was at App, it's like a gallon of milk a day. And if you do that on top of what you're, you know, all the other food that you're consuming, it just helps, you know, it just helps put some good calories on.
You know, they get done at the football game in Richmond, Kentucky. And every single player that comes out of the locker room afterwards is carrying a large pizza from a local pizza place there that sponsors it. But each kid on the team comes away with their own freaking pizza. Can you eat a large pizza by yourself? I can't. I might be good for two pieces. That's about all I got.
Depends on what kind of activities we do before.
Indeed.
Yeah, putting a pizza down, I would say I'd probably have done that in the past. But no, that was makes me want to go be a football player.
Do you guys remember the J.J. Watt thing? Remember he like showed his normal week. Anyway, he was consuming 8,500 calories a day.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
8,500 calories.
I think Phelps was in his prime was 12,000.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy. It's like he looks like a skinny dude.
Yeah.
How do you have to budget time?
I would not be able to fit through the door. We would need a new studio.
JJ said if he's not working out, he's basically eating. And like it was miserable to consume that much.
Oh my gosh.
The other thing, we should talk about a few other games. You know, there were some fantastic football games starting Friday night.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I don't think so, Mike.
Two fumbled punts. The punt off the helmet was fantastic.
Yeah.
Give the lure. I was going to say, give the listeners a little background. We've got a Florida State fan in Lewis here, and Mike is as big of an NC State fan as you have. And watching that game.
And yes, that's a fat joke.
No, it's not. Watching that game and seeing with my own eyes, I was like, I felt like I was living in like a different, like an alternate universe where I'm. The one went off the guy's helmet, correct?
Yeah, he never saw it.
How many football games?
It was like a 30-yard punt.
Have y'all seen that before in a game?
No.
I've never seen that in a game. And I was like, I texted my brother and I was I've watched football as much as anybody, I think, like in the last several years. I've never seen this before.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Also, Florida State every year has the thing where one lineman's blocking another one.
But can we do the breaking news? I mean, enormous news out of Tallahassee.
Big
they're
news.
They're keeping Norvell.
That's, I mean, great news for the rest of the ACC.
All of the teams that wanted him, I mean, Norvell's, I mean, Florida State was able to hang on to him.
You're not a fan,
hurts.
Lewis.
That hurts. No, dude, we have to pay him like $90 million or something to get
rid of
him.
They just can't afford to get rid of him. That's the whole deal. They can't afford to get rid of him. So what about, I mean, who's going to make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Is Alabama going to make it?
Of course they are.
So the question is if Alabama beats Auburn and then they lose in the SEC championship, they have three losses.
No.
Do you punish the SEC runner-up because they lost and kick them out of the playoff?
I would say yes.
Oh,
Pat. Wow.
Pat.
I don't think you can because that's a bonus game. It's not even a game. It's a bonus game. You can't penalize somebody for getting to a championship game and then not winning that championship. Why go? Why not just say, look, we're not going.
It goes back to that.
We opt out.
That whole argument we had, what was that, a year or two ago when Florida State got snubbed and that whole thing?
Yep, that would be 2 years.
Yeah, that kind of goes back to that discussion. You know, what about the team that you're bumping out because now you've got a three-loss Alabama team coming in?
Yeah. I don't know that there's a lot of teams better than Alabama that you would put in and put Alabama out. Even if they have a better record, I'm not sure they're a better football team.
Yeah, I don't think you can replace them with another SEC school that was not playing that weekend.
Right.
Is my big issue.
And you're not going to put an ACC school in there because we're all terrible.
No, and they're trying to figure out a way to keep the ACC out as a whole.
They are.
So, no, it'll be very exciting. I mean, I think Saturday night they said Kiffin's announcing after the game.
Well, the game's Friday. Friday. Saturday, I think we're supposed to hear something,
where he's going to be.
So let's go ahead and put it on record. Where's it going? Where do you think?
I think he's going to Fairview.
He's taking the Reynolds job.
I mean,
yeah.
That'd be awesome. No, I've absolutely.
Reynolds Boosters Club is going to need to come up with some serious dough for that.
I think he's staying. He's staying at Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think all of this smoke and stuff, it's like leading on the other teams, trying to get them to have, like, trying to get mess up their recruiting. I don't know. I mean, he's such a troll where it's, you don't see this come around too often where you're like, you're that highly sought after to where he could pick any school because it's the guys that could, they're happy with where they are. Like the Dan Lannings, the Ryan Days. But interesting. I mean, I saw something where Penn State's going to announce, you know, they've narrowed in on their guy. It's like, who is their guy?
Lewis, where do you think he's going?
Too bad it's not Florida State.
They do not have an opening currently.
They got their guy.
What about LSU?
So they're going to pay him $90 million.
Yeah, I think I would go with the money.
Pat?
Well, I was having this conversation actually with Brendan about it, and he brought up that joke or that argument you see online. I can think of 60 million reasons why he's going to Gainesville and he's going to take the Florida job, blah, blah, blah. But he's making a good amount of money, to your point, Mike, at Ole Miss right now, right? And his kids are kind of at that age where they're into that high school threshold and that whole thing, right? I mean, am I wrong there, or is that where they're at?
I think there's one at Ole Miss, and then there's one in high school, playing football in high school at Oxford.
So,
yes,
in that sense, as a dad, maybe you take a job, but just you go, and you leave the family back to
do the whole thing. He did that once, and it cost him his marriage. Now they're back together.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea. See, and that's, you're right. I agree with it. It's not a good idea. So that's why I think he's staying. I think Mike's right.
So here's my reasoning. You go to LSU, you go to Florida, they expect you to win every game every year. And right now, that's just not possible with the way that college football works.
Okay. You go there and you don't win every game, and you get to take 5 or 6 years off and get $70 million.
That's how it works. I mean, there's not many coaches that just take.
They're an A personality. They want to win. They want to work.
For sure. It's like James Franklin's buyout went down to $9 million.
For 40 to 9.
40 to 9 million.
So I think he stays at Ole Miss because, one,
he
is building the expectations up. But currently, if he loses a couple games, but he's still in, you know, the top 15, they're okay with that.
Yeah. They don't even have to make the playoffs for him to be, like, okay.
They want him there as long as he wants to be there.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going. It's
the legacy thing where his legacy, like he's building a legacy there where he goes to LSU. I mean, LSU, they've won national championships at LSU.
Also, I mean, like you said, he is the type A personality or whatever. Is that college good enough for him to stay there and get glory from? Well, I mean, if he makes it to the national championship and everything, yes, but we all know that's probably not likely.
I mean, they're top five.
I know, but like, you know, you're going up against some much harder teams. Like, you want to be in that top tier every year, and he hasn't done that.
He has made it. I think he's made it clear, or at least his agents leak stuff out to where I don't think Lane is. It always comes down to money, but supposedly it's like, if he does not truly believe that he can win a national championship at Ole Miss, then that's when he will make a move.
That's what I'm saying.
So I think he can too. Because supposedly everything I'm seeing is, I think Ole Miss, I mean, it's not like he's taking a pay cut to stay at Ole Miss.
Right.
I think they're ready to offer him the $13 million a year just like LSU is.
So speaking of coaching, big news out of Western North Carolina, two high school football coaches in Buncombe County retired this week. Of course, the big news out of A.C. Reynolds. Listen, this is the worst-kept secret in all of Buncombe County.
Yes.
Coach Laws has retired.
Ooh. Yes.
So now the coaching search begins for A.C. Reynolds.
Have we heard any definitive news of what assistant coaches are going?
I haven't heard any. Obviously, rumors abound everywhere, but I've not heard anything confirmed or anything official. The only thing I do know that I did hear is that it is a very sought-after job. There apparently are a lot of people interested in this position, but I don't know exactly.
Here's the problem. It can be very sought-after, but unless you're already living in Buncombe County, you're not going to afford to move here and be a high school football coach.
I agree.
That's a good point.
I had this thought the other night. My opinion with that is that, you know, some of these coaches highly qualified coaches throughout the state – you would imagine, how old do you guys think they probably would be? In their 40s or 50s?
40s.
Late 30s, yeah. Early 40s.
Okay, so my thought would be is, like, say you take someone from a powerhouse in Raleigh. He's looking to go. He probably has a house already that he's established his family. I think that it's, you know, not as difficult for the head coach to make that move because he can sell his house. And it's one of those things where he might have, you know, 15 years of equity in a house in Raleigh that is also boomed up. But it comes down to getting the assistants, getting the staff. I do agree with you guys how difficult that would be as far as bringing in your own guys and stuff. That would be very tough. But, one of the most highly sought-after jobs probably opening up. And when was the last time that it was open in Reynolds?
Oh,
so in Western North Carolina,
He's been the head coach 17 years.
17
right?
years.
And yeah. Before that, Paus, right?
No, before that, it was McCurry. But before that, it was Paus.
So it was kind of like the same staff.
And before that, it was Coach Connors.
Yeah.
It was 1997, I think, is when he started at Reynolds.
Were you even alive, Carson?
I was.
Yeah.
I was. I was two years old.
You were 2 years old.
Yes. But it comes back to, there's, you know, what they've built over there. Reynolds football is a household name across the state of North Carolina for high school football.
Yeah.
Really across the state.
That's what I was saying. Across the state of North Carolina, it's a household name. They've earned that. I do think that there will be applicants from all over, whether or not logistically it works out. But, I mean, the leadership at Reynolds, they're going to have some decisions to make because you've got qualified candidates, you know, probably on the staff already. You've got qualified candidates in and around Western North Carolina, and we could all sit here and name five that we think that would do a good job over there. And then, you know, you're probably going to have some guys off the mountain that's probably won some football games.
Yeah.
No, without a doubt.
It'll be interesting to see what they do. Who they stay in-house, because
it's
always been a rocket coach from within, right?
Yep.
Coach Connors came from outside. But once he came in, they brought Bobby Paus in from the outside. But then when Paus came in, you had McCurry, who was on his staff. Laws was on his staff. And they've kind of promoted from within. Are they willing to do that again, or are they looking for the big name? Because whether we want to admit it or not, having the big name in there is somewhat important because of recruiting. If you're going to bring in the best players from Western North Carolina to play at your school, I'm not saying that the head coach is going out there and knocking on doors, inviting people. What I'm saying is, if they're going to transfer in, they're going to need to have a coach they know is going to win games and help elevate them to the next level.
You guys were asking if, or you said that probably a couple coaches off the hill is going to apply, right? I mean, but what is the what's the drive to do that? If you're off the hill and it's not like McDowell or Rutherford and somewhere in that area, if you're down in Charlotte and Raleigh, I mean, you guys are kind of winning a large percentage of championships. Why would they come up here?
There's a lot of different things. I as a 30-year-old that's raising his kids here, I do think it's a good place to raise a family. Yeah. And I have to say that biasly because I'm here doing, actively doing it. We've all raised our families here. So, you know, I do think West North Carolina is a spot that is, I think it's beautiful. I think it's got great school systems.
But if you're a type A, the larger percentage of championships are down there. Why would you not stay down there?
Because up here, it's a lot easier to get to the fourth and fifth round. You don't have to play Charlotte schools every week.
I mean,
you play them in the playoffs.
That is true. But with that same mentality, like, you kind of want your team to play those Charlotte teams every week to get better and be ready for that. You know,
it gets you out of the big city mentality.
That's true.
Asheville is what's the right words here? It's a slower pace.
Yeah.
It's a city, but it has more of a rural feel compared to Charlotte, Mecklenburg County.
For sure.
And then not even just that, go to some of the outlying places where you're looking outside of, you know, Hickory, you're looking outside of, Burlington, Statesville, Greensboro. There's places that, I mean, we've seen some of these high schools where it's like, I wouldn't want my kids to come up through that.
I will say one thing. We were, weekend before last, we were down there in Raleigh hunting. And on Friday, we went to that 7A game. It was like Hillside versus somebody from the coast. But dude, like, it was a 7A school. And there was probably, I sent you a picture. There was probably like 100 people there max. And most of them were there for the band.
Yeah. And I've sent a couple of pictures out from Robertson. It's like half to three quarters full. But it's still half to three quarters full.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to some of these other schools, these other areas, bigger cities, you got no support from the community. No support from the fans. In the mountain counties, especially outside of Buncombe County, you get to Mount Heritage, you get to Robbinsville, you get to Franklin.
Everybody.
I mean,
over there in Waynesville area.
Where was it, Pat? You were telling us they shut down the town.
Yeah, that was Swain.
Oh, Swain. Yeah,
Swain.
Yeah, but, you know, and we obviously have not talked to Coach Laws or anything, but going off of what he's built at the program, I would, if I was a betting man, if you're off the mountain and you've got a chance at it, it's because you have a relationship with Shane. And I don't know if he's handing over the keys to that program to just a random stranger. And that's my guess.
Is there any surprise that he's not going to go coach somewhere else? Like this year, you know, we don't know what the future holds and all that.
We always hear about high school coaches, North Carolina high school coaches retiring and then going south.
Right.
You go to South Carolina, you go to Georgia.
Now he's got his years in,
his years in. He can retire.
So he's retiring, getting a check, and he's going to do something else. But for me, I'm surprised he's not going to go coach in South Carolina, Georgia.
Can you imagine
at the college level somewhere?
Sure. Can you imagine coaching he's probably been coaching for 30 years.
30 years, yeah.
He might be ready for a season off.
Well, yeah, and the other thing, I listened to the podcast that he did with
WWNC.
Yeah, with that. I listened to that online. He didn't come out and say this, but I almost got the impression that, you know, he's sensitive to what's going on, obviously, in the upper levels of football with NIL deals and stuff like that, because you brought up the idea of going to college coach. And the way he's done it for his entire career, I don't know that I'd take that step up to college and have to deal with that. I mean, you hear about Saban making that point at Alabama when he retired, that Virginia basketball coach, you know, he's like, no, this game's passing me by kind of thing. He obviously didn't say that outright, but I wouldn't be surprised that's in his head.
Exclusive, Pat Pohl.
Of course.
Has passed laws up.
No, I did not say that shape, or form did I say that.
It just goes back. I mean, in how many hours, how many Sundays film sessions? I mean, he may just, you know, he may want to spend some time with his family.
Amen.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I will say, as far as with the applicants that Reynolds is going to have, Shane's phone's going to ring.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's not already, he's going to have to put on Do Not Disturb during Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, because imagine the schools that, you know, in just the outlying states that have wanted him for however many years.
Yeah.
And they're like, we can get him now.
I think one of the things Pat mentioned, that it was on WWNC. He talked to Chris Womack from WLOS, you know. He mentioned he's got, you know, two kids in college.
Yeah.
One plays soccer, I believe.
Yeah, at Citadel, I think.
Citadel.
Yeah.
Citadel. You know, he wants to go to those games.
Yeah.
He's got a younger daughter that is maybe elementary, middle. She's younger.
Yes, I think elementary, middle school.
Wants to be there for her. I think he's ready to live a semi-normal life. Now, yeah. Will that continue? I don't know. But right now, that's what he wants.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
Let's talk about the other opening.
Yeah.
Inca High School. Yeah. Obviously, we've talked in the past. There's four or five former head coaches on that staff. No surprise that Sexton retired. He has his years in.
He's done everything.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's won at Irwin. He's, yep. You know.
He was at East Henderson, too, I think, wasn't he?
Yep.
Back in the day.
So, I don't know for sure who's going to put their names in. Obviously, there's some former head coaches on staff. Not as a desirable job, but a head coach job nonetheless.
But what if you're the dude that turns it around?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, and it goes back to, you know, it's obviously not as desirable at Reynolds, but, you know, what if you go, it could be that stepping stone. You go over there and you know, have a couple 500 seasons. You build something over there, and then it's like next thing you know, it's like you could make that jump to a Pisgah or a Tuscola or a, you know, Robertson, West End or something like that. But I do think they'll have some applicants over there. It's going to be tough to know, you know, what type of PE, if they have any PE jobs available, because if they don't have any PE jobs available, that's going to be very tough to get a football coach that is still actively teaching to come over there and not do anything but PE, in my opinion.
I agree.
I think you nailed it right there a minute ago, Mike, because it is a tale of two stories with these two schools. You have the position at Reynolds, but you've got some freaking shoes to fill there. I mean, some people want that challenge, but other people will be like, man, do I want to be that guy or do I want to be the guy after that guy? And then the other side of this that you just brought up is, or you did, Lewis, you brought it up that it could be the person that turns it around over there at Inca, and kind of like a Ben Johnson is doing with the Bears right now, right?
Yes. Or, I mean, we've already seen this.
Yes,
the last,
thank you, Pat.
Hey, we've already seen this the last couple of years. And if Reynolds doesn't get the coaching job correct and get the right guy in there, I mean, the Mac's kind of already been shuffling around a little bit. Who knows? Inca might. I mean, that's crazy talk, but it really could happen.
Yeah, in the sure era could. Of transfers.
Yeah.
You're one good season from getting some guys in there,
right,
and competing for a championship.
And it all depends on you've got to have that. You want to have that one guy that people want to come play with. And it's like, and it could be any school, but it's if you get that one guy that people are like, hey, eighth grade, he was a freak, whatever it was. Well, he's in ninth grade. It's like I remember talking to some of the coaches in the MAC, and they're like, we want people to come and want to play with our quarterback. It's like, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what you want.
And we've seen it. Like, what Reynolds is losing, they better get a guy that's going to be there for the long haul, because we've seen these programs, Mountain Heritage, Robbinsville, ACR, like these long-term coaches that has their system in place for 20 years. Guess what? They're successful.
Well, I will say too, not that everything's compared to baseball, but I mean, Coach Craig coached at Reynolds for a long, long time. And then they went with someone off the mountain, and you know, they were in limbo there for 3 or 4 years trying to find a steady coach. I do think it's very important that the next guy they get, they don't want to be worried about him leaving the next year.
No, and also, I mean, hiring from within, like you already know the political system, you understand the kids, you get the environment, you know what's going on, right? I mean, there's something to be said there.
And I want to say this with 100% certainty, we are not done with coaches leaving West North Carolina High School this.
No, it is still early.
Before next football season.
It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
There are several more that are going to move on, leave, retire, something. And there's going to be other openings that are good openings. That
Very
are good.
Good jobs.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, it's going to get wild. We're going to see who's going to go where. Reynolds needs to lock it up early, in my opinion, with somebody that is a good hire. Because, like I said before, in the era of transfers, it's real easy to say, hey, man, we don't have a coach. Maybe we should go to Asheville and play, you know, over there. And maybe we should go to Irwin. Maybe we should go, you know.
Yeah, let's go to West Henderson.
Yeah, let's go to West Henderson.
Anywhere.
So.
Yeah, I agree just completely. My opinion. I there's some names. There's names that if I was principal or athletic director, I would be calling them until they answered and came met with me. But that's
whether
just,
they put their name in or not, I'd be calling them.
I would be calling them for sure. And that's just my opinion.
Because you got to get the right guy.
You've got to get the right guy. You want to get someone that you think, whether we all can sit here at this table and agree with it or not, the Reynolds job is it's a beast of a job. And so you want to get someone that you know can handle that pressure. Following up Coach Laws, I mean, it's what Pat said. I've heard I'd rather be the guy after the guy.
Yep.
Why let the next guy come in and then fail to expectations and then be that guy?
Well, can you imagine the next guy taking over? And he doesn't have laws, his resume or whatever, or maybe he does, but the first four games are always tough for Reynolds, right?
Absolutely.
So imagine he drops three of those, and Laws did that several times.
Yeah.
But we both know, I mean, he will not be granted the same, you know, leeway that Laws has.
Of course, Shane had built up lots of credibility over years.
Exactly.
So, and he even still, I mean, this year at the start of the year, we were hearing, I mean, we heard how people in the stands were going crazy. And, yeah. And I mean, it's one of those when you are, that pressure is a privilege. So in my opinion, I'm like, I think the right type A will want that pressure.
Yeah. So speaking of failed expectations, like Lewis said earlier, let's talk about our picks from last week.
Let's not.
We did have a record set this week, guys.
Glad I got it.
A record. Congratulations.
I think it's the first time ever.
The first time ever. We had somebody go over.
And no, it wasn't me.
Lewis. No, it wasn't even Pat.
No, it wasn't.
I will repeat what I said in the group chat. I was just taking a bye week so you guys had a chance to catch up.
What's wild is I had done the math and I'm like, me and Lewis,
four
games. I can pick up four games on Lewis this week. And I said, those are my intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did the kids on the field Friday night have my back.
Did you burn up Instagram texting all these kids?
Oh, I mean, I was giving them shout outs left and right.
All right, let me run through these real quick. Carson was 4-3 this week. Mike and Pat, 2-5. Lewis, 0-7. On the year, Carson retakes the lead after a one-week hiatus. He's 73-59. Lewis, one back, 72-60. I'm in third at 69-61. Is that 69-61?
63.
All right, 69-63.
Wow.
And then Pat is 62-70.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you got to 70, Pat.
Yeah, the losing side of it, yes.
Yeah. So, it's crazy you could flip Pat's and he still would not be in the lead.
Right?
Yeah.
So we have some very interesting games this week. We got three. Yes. So obviously we're running out of games, right? We got five games this week and three of them are pick-ems. So... it's getting tough.
And as the spreads, as the games get going, I mean, as these rounds get deeper, the spreads are going to shrink a little bit.
Unless you're 1A.
Yep. Yep.
37.5. Come on.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Round three of the playoffs. We had East Columbus travel to Robbinsville. Robbinsville was a 50.5-point home favorite. Well, Robbinsville wins, but they don't cover. 54-7 for Robbinsville running back. Kaik Teteski had 6 carries for 81 yards and 2 touchdowns. He led the way for Robbinsville.
What do we think the percentage he got that correct?
I mean, probably 7.
At least 7.
Sorry, yeah. Mike. Go ahead.
So the only one to get this one right was Carson, and that was the only stat I found. It was in the paper.
We were watching this, obviously, on the score stream, and it looked like they were actually going to cover this thing after we had that conversation. It was
49-0.
Yeah, at the end of the first half,
it was
right?
49-0 in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is actually going to play out.
That was my lock of the week. And I was like, this is not good.
I think it went to, didn't it go to 54-0? And then they finally gave up the touchdown. Yeah. And then I saw that come across
the
in the text thread.
Not run out fast.
I heard they were letting people from the stands just come in and run a few plays.
Bring the middle school team in. You should not be able to win a third round game 54-7.
And that was, somebody put in the text thread, that was a 7-hour drive for that?
Seven, 8 hours.
Yeah.
On an activity.
Can you imagine that?
I might have taken a whatever. Charter bus.
Yeah.
Oh, agony.
So next up, Mountain Island Charter School traveled to Mitchell. Mitchell, a 13.5-point favorite. Well, guys, Mitchell wins, but they only win by the 13. So we missed it by half a point. 28-15 the final. Of course, the half a point, none of us got it correct. For Mitchell, they rushed for 242 yards and 4 touchdowns. Junior quarterback Owen Riddle rushed 15 times for 101 yards and a touchdown. Senior running back Kaj Pittman, 20 carries, 81 yards, and a touchdown. So Mitchell moving on to round 4.
Indeed.
No surprise.
I didn't know anything about Mountain Island Charter except for that sounds like a cool name.
Jeez. This is what Carson brings to the podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
all right, so
Mitchell moves on.
Next up, the Community School of Davidson traveled to Murphy. Murphy, a 14.5 point favorite. Well, Murphy does win, and they cover 62-20. This game was close in the first half. Murphy pulls away. Carson Pat, get this one correct. Listen to this stat line, Carson. Running back Cam Clem from Murphy, 25 carries, 456 yards, and 8 touchdowns.
It's getting it done.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. 8 touchdowns.
8. That's a school record.
Wow.
That has to be a record.
School record. 8 touchdowns.
Oh, my goodness.
If we still did Player of the Week, he would be it.
Yes.
Did they just call him Mr. Touchdown this week? Is that what they did?
Yes. I mean, when I up 2 or 3 touchdowns, I may have pulled him. Hey, that's just me. I don't coach high school football. Yeah.
No, we just talk about it.
We just talk about it.
But you know what? They covered. Great job, Murphy.
Yeah. Amen.
So next up, this was a heartbreaker. Lincolnton travels to Mount Heritage. Mm. Mount Heritage, a 7.5 point favorite. Mount Heritage loses 37-36. None of us got this one correct. For Lincolnton, they rushed for 222 yards and 4 touchdowns. They also rushed for 184 and 1 touchdown. For Mount Heritage, Kaysen Jones, 22 carries, 233 yards and 2 touchdowns. Braden Dayton, 9 carries for 112 yards and a touchdown. Game 20 was 23-22 at the half. Lincolnton, I mean, this was a back and forth battle all night. I kept seeing text messages in the thread. It was like back and forth, back and forth.
It really was. And Mountain Heritage went up late, too.
They went up late. Yeah. Which there's been some videos. One of the Citizen Times guys was there, and there's been highlights. And with going over Jones' stat line, 22 carries, 200 and something yards. I mean, when I saw the videos of him running the ball, it's like, I do not know how they lost this game. It looked like every time he touched it, it was 15 yards or a touchdown.
So usually you got to remember, Kaysen Jones generally all year has been a 10 to 15 carry guy.
Yes.
Because he plays defense.
Yes. This is most all year.
I mean, he had to be, I'm sure he gave everything he had, but he had to be done at the end of that game.
Yeah. I mean, and he looks on those videos, he looks like a man running through those Lincolnton football players.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a senior, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do we know if he's playing at the next level?
Yeah, Elon. He had Division I offers.
Oh, he does. Okay, yeah. So he's going to
Elon. Is he playing football or baseball?
Football.
Okay. Very good baseball player.
Playing the foosball.
The foosball.
Yeah. But he's gut-wrenching.
That hurts. Because, you know, Mount Heritage, I'm sure expectations up there, state championship. Listen, new coach.
Third round.
I mean,
not bad. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it just, it's a good year, but it stings. It stings because Lincolnton, they take out Hendersonville. They take out Mountain Heritage, and it's like, and I think Lewis has said it on episodes before, it's like, you just had to have been excited about this run because
that's right.
You do not have another Kaysen Jones. You will not have another Kaysen Jones. Just, you're going to have other players that are going to be able to play football well and whatnot, and that doesn't mean they cannot make another deep run, but you don't have a Kaysen Jones.
Some people are happy about that.
Mount Heritage has made runs before Kaysen Jones.
Yeah,
they'll
for sure.
make runs.
They
after
will.
Cases.
They will. But they definitely will. I just meant the expectations this year. It was like, we're definitely going to make a deep run because we've got
and Lincoln
a horse.
Lincoln, a traditional power.
Yes. I mean, oh, yeah.
A small school power. They're super good.
Yep.
So
apparently, a power county. Their entire county
east,
was
west,
in.
West, north, south.
And everybody
just
was
regular
in.
Lincolnton all played in the playoff.
Yes.
As well as all the Davidson County schools.
So he'll go to Elon, right? Is that what you said? So he'll join Asher Cunningham over there.
Yes. Is that where Asher's
at? Asher, I'm assuming he's still there. That's where he went out of high school.
At least he was there one year.
So,
you know, people bounce around.
Now, that is a hit I would like to see in Oklahoma. Those two against each other. Oh, my.
Indeed.
I remember some of the stories Austin would say about how Asher would hit them when they were on JV.
Mm-hmm.
Not pretty.
I don't think they do Oklahoma anymore.
I know.
Did you see that video of that college play where the running back went into the hole, obviously behind his pads, and hit the guy head on, and it knocked the paint off of his helmet.
Yes.
I don't remember what team that was, but they showed
off.
It. Yeah, you see it in slow motion. The paint's just splattering off that helmet.
It's always good to lead with your head.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This is why me and Mike don't coach. Yeah. We podcast.
That's right.
But something you don't know, Carson, they were taught to lead with their head.
Really?
Oh, yeah, back I was.
You got to lead with the face mask.
Lead with your face mask.
Lead with your face mask.
That's right.
Yeah. Not anymore, but that's what I was taught.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
We live in a different time. So next up, Mount Pleasant at Pisgah. Pisgah, a 2.5-point home favorite. Well, guys, they win and cover 22-15 in overtime. Carson, Pat, Mike got this one correct. Running back Landon Pope, 27 carries, 131 yards, and a touchdown. Lewis, you surprised Landon Pope only got 27 carries?
Yeah, I mean, he was dumb at halftime, drinking a Mai Tai on the sideline. You know.
That is not true.
That's not true at all. Yeah.
So Pisgah wins in overtime. Pisgah rolling right now.
I mean, man, fourth round, that's an impressive run. I don't care what the divisions are.
And I can't wait to talk about their fourth round game.
Yes. Oh, my. Humongous game. So, and I feel better about the game, too, the fact that he didn't have 50 carries. Because like he's had a way bigger workload. But my question to that would be, obviously none of us were at the game, and we just have the stats. But you know, was time of possession? Did they have the ball as much? I mean, did they have another guy that had 20 carries?
Well, there were no stats. I just got that one. They didn't put anything up on Max Preps.
Okay,
coaches are real slow to put things up in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I got that out of the ACT.
Okay,
they report their best players to the ACT, and that's where I got it.
Nice.
Do you think they copied it down correct?
Perhaps.
Okay.
So next up, what was another, fantastic football game. Burns at Brevard.
Close.
Brevard, a 14.5-point home favorite. Well, good news for Brevard. They win. Bad news for Carson. They didn't cover.
They were not great.
30-27 Brevard. Nyrell Skinner, 3-yard touchdown run with 3 minutes and 45 seconds left to win the game.
Yeah.
I mean, no stats on this.
Were you guys sitting there when the score updates were coming in and it was like, is Heritage and Brevard about to fall?
No, I didn't think that.
I mean, I was like,
and Pisgah, they're in overtime.
Yeah, and Derek's 30 dozen is in shambles. And it's like, then what are we talking about today? So, I mean, huge for Brevard to prevail. Obviously.
I wish you guys could see me. So, I'll set the stage for you. We talked about the stay game. It was on Friday. I hate college games on Friday, but you know what? Luke and I stayed here. We watched it. We had a fire in the yard.
In the yard?
Well, in the driveway.
Okay.
In the fire pit. We had a TV outside, so we're watching the state game. I'm flipping through ScoreStream, X, Facebook, getting all these score updates and sending them out. And it's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. But we really appreciate it.
Yeah,
I was going to say, thank you, Mike, for that.
That's not what I was looking for. But okay. All right, last up, no surprise here, Franklin at Hickory. Hickory, a 21.5-point home favorite. Hickory gets the win and covers 36-14. Carson and Mike get this one correct. For Hickory, they had 216 yards passing, 242 yards rushing. They had two players rushing over 100 yards in the game. For Franklin, junior quarterback Anderson Terrell, 13 of 31 for 220 yards, a touchdown and an interception. Sophomore running back Garrett Young, 22 carries for 117 yards and a touchdown. And sophomore wide receiver Gabe Harrison, 7 catches, 192 yards, and a touchdown. So, guys, what I take from this, Franklin lost, yes, but look at their 3 top offensive guys. Junior, sophomore, sophomore.
That's good for them.
Now, I don't know about their offensive line. We all know, like Irwin, for
line
instance.
Of scrimmage, they had very
a great,
important.
They had a great quarterback, wide receiver combo coming back, but their offensive line all graduated. So, I don't know how Franklin is, but they got some skill guys coming back. So
indeed,
but Franklin, I mean, and they already, those young guys already had a strong year. So definitely something to build on.
You comfortable there, Carson?
I am.
Good.
So, just happy to be here.
Pat McAfee's joined the podcast. that's
exactly.
You want to stand in the chair as well? Pat will reach over and hold it just like Nick Saban does. Carson currently standing shirtless, sitting shirtless to do the podcast.
I wouldn't take my hoodie off, and Lewis insisted that my white tee came off as well. So I just sat here until Mike looked up from reading the stats.
That feels like slander.
All right.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, what a game.
Franklin's going to be good next year. Yep. They got a lot of good athletes coming back. And
they play some teams throughout the year that test them.
The Mountain Eight is a really good conference.
Been a very good conference this year.
Yeah. I'm surprised Carson didn't bring this up, but when we were recording last week, he did put a star next to East Columbus and Robbinsville, said he gets to pick that, or that counts as 2.
I did not count it as 2 because I want to be fair to you guys, but I did mention earlier in the pod, that was my lock of the week.
Yep.
Derek texted me and reminded me that was worth 2. So
I feel like, I don't know if we should honor that or not.
No, we're not honoring it, but I just want to let you guys know when I give a lock of the week, I mean business.
Oh, gee.
Indeed.
That's my agony. How many times have we sat here? That's my boys. They're going to do it. I swear. I've been texting.
I'm just pissed that I'm still upset that the Cougars didn't win conference because Mike's the only one with the conference championship t-shirt.
Who?
That's right.
Mike.
Who didn't win?
The Cougars.
Cougars.
The Cougars. Yeah, I know.
So a couple things I want to talk about before we get to this week's games. Number one, I want to talk about our fantastic Friendsgiving yesterday and for the podcast guests. Oh my gosh, so much fun.
It was such a nice treat to get to go to that community.
Yeah, I mean, Pat letting us into the Biltmore Lake community was...
And we actually something. Got to meet some of his neighbors this time.
Yes, we did. Because we were being so loud in the front yard.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
super...
I have videos.
Really was an honor to be able to make it over there and see the compound with my own eyes.
And what was great is his security team...
Agony.
They gave us video clips of all the nonsensery that we were doing.
There was some nonsensery.
Can we talk about that? Those loaves of bread that he made?
No.
And Mary looked at me. I was like...
We didn't get to eat them.
Mary, do you... Which Mary is Pat's lovely better half. I said, hey, did he make those in the oven? And she looked at me. She's like, yeah, of course he did. And she's like, where else would he make them? I was like, I didn't know if Pat had like a separate like loaf... Like a bread oven.
Well, he's got some help that probably made it
for him. I have no help.
Because I didn't
see. I have no security team.
So
we do have cameras.
But no, I mean, great. Just a great time. Pat welcomed us to his home. Friendsgiving. I told my wife she was going to Wicked, and I told her I was going to Friendsgiving. She looked at me. She's like, which friends? I was like, well, my boys.
Carson has several friend groups. Yeah. Us older guys, we have one friend group.
Yeah, we're old. Old people, but we got after it. Now
we had a good time.
We were rowdy and we were loud, and we went for how long? Four and a half hours.
Yeah, and we were back home in bed by 7:30.
Yes.
The worst part. Listen, the worst part of the night is I'm sitting on the couch. We're having a good time. We're having a blast, and I'm like, "Hey, at least I don't have to go to work." Oh God, it's Sunday. I've got to go to work in the morning.
Yeah, that was not. And I had the last week off, so this was a real bad Monday. So
yeah
probably just, not a good choice.
The second thing I want to talk about is, listen, we got to thank the Cougars coaching staff.
Absolutely.
For coming hanging out with us.
Yeah, that was fun.
At the tavern. We just appreciate them coming out, spending some time with us. Listen, we're podcasters. We talk about high school football. Anytime a coaching staff is willing to come and hang out with us, that's fantastic.
That's awesome.
And we prefer it to be at the casino.
Indeed.
Just so you know.
We were not at the casino.
No, we weren't. But we really, the best part is the interactions that we have. And I think we've built some good things with a lot of the staffs around here. And we've got, I don't know, just kind of extends our friendships and whatnot.
I mean,
we will joke around about the games, and we might say like exactly, I think was it Asheville's DC was like, you know, came up and mentioned at the beginning of the year when we were like, basically it was the worst defense in the that's ever been assembled.
They're good on offense. They suck on defense.
And he's like, y'all basically gave my social security card, my address. Yeah, yeah. He's like, just say my name next time.
We did. We did say his name. And,
but no, we love it. And we're very thankful for everybody that listens and interacts.
I think this is a good time to announce the Behind the Beard Royal Caribbean Cruise.
Yeah.
That, you know, our PR guys set up.
Well, we're gonna invite some other coaching staffs, and we're gonna do all the interviews on the cruise. We're just gonna
that
be a business
would rock.
And we're gonna ride it off,
but it has to be after midnight.
Oh gosh, I can't do that. I'm in bed before midnight.
Drink package all day.
No way, I cannot do that.
The Royal Caribbean, brought to you by Tire Connections of Black Mountain.
There you go. I mean,
so I'm glad you mentioned that. Let's talk a minute about our presenting sponsor, Black Mountain Tire Pad. What you? Tell us a little something about them.
Well, they did a great job with my tires. I think you guys did too, but I'd take my company car over there because it basically were flat, bald tires going into winter. And, you know, they took care of me and got all that set up. But
hey, at least you had rubber.
It was so funny because Bill McGee was out there working because, you know, he's actually in the shop and he's the owner of the shop. And every time I've gone over there, I've seen him laying under a car or doing something. And he comes out and he looks immediately at my tires and goes, Pat, you need new tires. You got to get that. You got to get those new tires. And sure enough, he got it done. Got the ones he wanted on there, that's what's on the car.
So two things. Good. One, if Pat had bald tires, air quotations, he probably had half the tread left.
Oh, for sure.
Not true.
I took some trailer tires over to Bill McGee the other day for work, and there was literally no rubber. It was just metal. I have also been to Bill. He takes care of my tires. He takes care of my wife's tires. That's the only place I go to get tires is Black Mountain Tire.
I got super lucky. I was sitting in the driveway, and I just happened to see a little bit of metal showing on one tire. I went up there this week. He took care of my tires. He identified the problem. Like, my toe out was way out, and now I'm good to go.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, they all treat you like family. I will say, all these coaches out here, I think Bill has supported. I know he has supported three financially supported.
Probably more. He just hadn't told anybody.
Correct. He will not advertise it. But I know that he has supported three football teams within very close proximity to us. So, you know, it's easy to take your business there because, you know, he is literally giving back and he does so much for anybody that's in need.
Now, the best part of this experience in this relationship, it is amazing the amount of crap that Bill McGee gives Carson
First off, it's
like an artist.
The worst part about weaving on a can, the worst part about me introducing Bill to these guys is that now Pat is off the hot seat and Carson gets roasted all day. Where it used to just be Pat was. I mean, we would just talk about Pat's lunches with Coach Laws, and you know, Pat just
don't have lunch with Coach Laws. I mean,
we would. If Pat was the.
That's not true.
Oh, okay, Pat. But now. It's all about Carson.
So just a little backstory. Bill sat at a Reynolds game behind me, and it happened to be the one Reynolds game Carson came to.
Yep.
Bill is a customer of Carson.
Yes, he is.
And me. We work together. He uses our services for his business. Well, we became friends. We invited him out. He started hanging out, and Bill's our guy.
Yeah.
You talk about a good time.
Me and Bill used to be very close. Now Bill and Pat are buddies.
Very close, yes. we see, and I told Carson this evidently three times last night. We see Carson a lot more now that Bill's hanging out.
That's true. Lovely daughter.
I'm just lucky to be here. Yeah, Lila's the star of the show.
Oh, man.
Oh, for sure.
Without a doubt.
So
Carson let me hold Lila for a few minutes at last.
Yeah, she usually will not go to other men, and Mike was able to hold her.
So let's talk about this week's football games. You ready?
Yes, do it.
All right, so this is insane. We're in the fourth round of the playoffs, guys. We got South Davidson 11-1 at 9-3 Robbinsville. Robbinsville is a 37.5-point home favorite. 37.5. They have one common opponent, Rosman. South Davidson beat them 27-8 2 weeks ago. Robbinsville beat them 61-0. This is Rossman I'm talking about. For South Davidson, their only loss was to Bishop McGinnis, who lost to Mitchell. They are run first. According to Max Preps, they only throw it for 33 yards a game, but rush it for 285. Quarterback Gage Underwood rushes for 114 yards and 18 touchdowns on the season. So, Lewis, I know, right? I know. It's not 50. Robbinsville, a 37.5-point home favorite. What are you thinking?
What were they last week at halftime?
49-0. Robbinsville is going to win the 1A state championship.
I definitely think that's a possibility. I'm going to go with Robbinsville.
All right, Carson?
So, last week, West Columbus lock of the week. This week, Robbinsville covers 37.5, and that is my lock of the week.
Pat?
Yeah, they burned me last week on that whole spread thing. They're going to let, like Lewis said, people charge in out of the stands to get some points on the board. Obviously, Robbinsville wins this game big, but I'm gonna say the points and South Davidson.
Listen, Carson said it was his lock of the week. I'm taking Robbinsville.
Good. I'm on an island.
So next up, Mitchell. 9-4 at Starmount, 10-2. Starmount is a 16.5-point home favorite. Starmount is out of Boonville, North Carolina, guys. That's a two-hour ride for Mitchell. They beat South Stanley last week. In their last four games, they've only allowed 7 points total. On the year, they score 34 while giving up 8. They have a fantastic defense. Their junior quarterback, Best, 120 yards a game, 16 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. While senior running back Billups, 90 yards a game and 10 touchdowns. For Mitchell, listen, they hit their stride late. And since losing to Mount Heritage, they've won 5 straight. So they're rolling right now. Carson, what are you thinking here?
I'm going to go. I think Mitchell's had a magical run, great run. I think it ends this Friday night. And I'm going to go with Starmount big.
I couldn't say it any better. I'm going to go right along with Carson on that.
Well, you're both wrong because Mitchell's going to pull the upset. They will win and move to the fifth round of the playoffs. Lewis.
Mike, I really think you're right on that. I mean, Mitchell, After this 2 hour drive down there, they're going to be ready to play.
Where is Boonville? Do we know?
Yes, it's 2 hours away. Okay. So listen, I mapped it. If you drew a straight line between them, it would be about 30 minutes, but you got to go south, west, north to get there.
Okay.
Like this. It's like a big U.
Yeah.
But yes. They're right here. They're on the same plane.
Okay.
So if they had a flying bus, they could get there pretty quick.
If
they had Pat, then they would be there very quickly.
Agony. Did y'all see the video of the actual flying car?
I saw you flying your plane. Yes.
That was a pretty cool flying car.
I did not see it.
It's like a giant drone, but it
send it to me.
Takes off and off it goes. I thought it was.
Do you guys know there's been flying cars since the 50s?
No.
Yeah.
Have there?
Oh yeah.
Are they called airplanes?
No.
That's what I like to call them.
In the 50s, they developed a car that would be like a boat, drive, and then you could take off with it.
Okay, let's talk about the next game. Next up, we have Corvin Community. You like that name, Carson? Corvin Community.
Is it Corvin or Corvian?
Corvin Community.
Okay.
They are 10-1, and they're traveling to Murphy, who's 10-2. Guys, this is a pick'em for Corvian Community. They beat Mount Heritage last year, and then lost in the state championship game. Their only loss is to Butler, who's a 7A school. They score 34 while giving up 11. Notable recruits: Nate Kamba. It's KAMBA. He's 6'3", a 270-pound defensive lineman, and right next to him is Josiah Fields on the D line, 6'4", 250. Freshman quarterback Tyson Douglas Brown, 139 yards a game, 17 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. They rush it for 110 yards a game, but listen, no one averages more than 55 yards a game. For Murphy, they've won 8 in a row. They haven't lost since they lost to Reynolds. Last 2 weeks, they're scoring 60 points a game. Pat, what are you thinking here?
Murphy.
Ooh. Corvian Community. They beat Mount Heritage. They're going to beat Murphy. They beat Mount Heritage last year. They're going to beat Murphy this year. They're headed to state.
I agree. They have the winning attitude. They know how to get it done with these mountain teams. I'm going Corvian as well.
It sounds to me like their defense is a problem.
Yeah.
And it probably starts with those two guys that you mentioned.
Yeah, those two D linemen.
Yeah, they would be a problem.
Half of their tackles are for loss.
Yeah. Yeah, because their offensive numbers are not anything that's just the craziest offense ever.
But they only give up 8 points or 11 points a game.
You're forgetting Mr. Football, Mr. Clem. He had 812 touchdowns last week.
8 touchdowns. Yeah, I'm going to go with Corvian Community as well.
Then you all are all wrong.
All right. Next up, this is a little bit of a stretch for us Western North Carolina folks, but we're going to talk about Watauga. We have Sun Valley, 9-3 at 12-0 Watauga. This is a pick 'em. Last week, Watauga beat Charlotte Catholic 27-19. They rush it for 180 yards a game, and they're very senior heavy. For Sun Valley, they lost to Lake Norman, Mooresville, and Weddington. Those are three fantastic football teams. They beat Freedom 46-20. Watauga beat Freedom 42-20. Senior quarterback, he throws it for 169 yards a game and rushes it for 135.
Wow. Yeah.
This is a fantastic team.
Dual threat.
Here, the stat for me that tells me who I'm going to pick. In Watauga, Friday night, the high is 31, the low is 18. I'm going Watauga. It's going to be cold with a capital C.
Indeed.
Go ahead, Lewis.
I hope Watauga has a little copper tone on them because they're about to get a sunburn, dude.
Wow.
Wait, so you're picking Sun Valley?
Indeed.
I need to back up a little bit. I said they have a senior quarterback. That is true. As a team, they rush it for 169 yards, and they rush it for 135. They're very balanced.
Okay.
I gave bad information there. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carson.
That's okay.
You need to change your pick, Lewis.
I do not.
Okay.
No. Carson. I hope Lewis does not change because I just picked up a game on him. Watauga, crazy things happen up on the mountain. And
I heard that today.
Watauga wins the game.
Listen, at home, cold weather, Watauga.
From Sun Valley's in Monroe, so from Monroe to Boone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole other world up there.
Indeed. Watauga.
I'm super happy. That in the Mitchell game, it's got me the first place.
Sounds like Lewis may have another over.
Over Lewis.
It does.
Next up, guys, this is a repeat game. And if you are a football fan in West North Carolina, you need to be at Brevard on Friday night.
Without a doubt.
Pisgah 9-3 at Brevard 12-0. This is a pick'em, guys. In the last matchup, it went to overtime. Double overtime.
Double over, yep.
And Brevard wins 36-20. That was on Halloween night. In the last matchup for Brevard, quarterback Christian Conley was 10 of 16 for 162 yards and interception. Running back Nyrell Skinner, who scored the game-winning touchdown last week, had 118 yards and a touchdown. For Pisgah, the last matchup, they only had 49 yards passing. Landon Pope had 41 carries for 166 yards and two touchdowns and 244 yards as a team. Two of Pisgah's last three games, Pat, have been in overtime games.
Indeed.
Yes.
Carson, what are you thinking here?
We've talked about this before, about beating a good team twice.
It's tough.
It is very difficult.
You got a great running back at Atlanta Pope, but Brevard has a ton of athletes.
Brevard is a very, very good team. And I'm gonna go with Pisgah here on the back to back. And I think that Pisgah with Landon Pope, such a close game last game. Brevard got the win. I think it's very difficult to beat a good team twice. I think Pisgah's magical run, and I don't know how they get to this. If it's Landon, they're going to have a, you know, it may come up to a turnover. I don't know. But this game, what do you think the odds would be that it goes in overtime?
Pretty good odds at this point.
It's like it very well. We could get more than four quarters.
Landon Pope has to be successful.
Correct.
He has to rush for
200
yards.
And more than at least two touchdowns.
I agree.
So I'm going with Pisgah, and I think Landon Pope has a game.
Lewis?
I'm going to go with Brevard. I don't know how you can bet against these guys. They've proven it all year long.
They've proven what? They don't cover that much.
That's okay. This is a pick'em, buddy.
That's fine. That's Lewis, still
means. I mean, Pat?
I'm in the Carson camp on this one. To beat a good team twice in the same season, very difficult thing to do. It's a tough call, but I do think Pisgah is going to manage to get this done.
That's because that one lady hit him up on Facebook.
That's right.
She does have a wrath. I don't dare incur it.
I'm going Brevard by two touchdowns. This is not a close game. Brevard wins in four quarters by two touchdowns.
Wow. That's a bold statement.
Wow. I like it.
And that's my lock of the week. You can write that
down. That is Mike's lock of the week.
Mike's lock of the week.
I got a star there.
If I get that, I move to first place.
Perfect.
No.
So now, that's this week's games. That's it.
Now, the Brevard game last week, that was an overtime one as well, or no? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
No, it was regular.
It was close game.
They scored with 3 minutes and 45 seconds left to win the game.
Indeed. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you what.
Why are you trying to challenge me like
Brevard
that?
Brevard and Pisgah has both played in some very – those are well-tested teams. They've played in very close games.
I love that Pisgah runs the football and controls the clock and controls the game. But I think Brevard has too many athletes. I think they control this game at the get-go with Nyrell Skinner and the wide receiver they have that's pretty good.
Thompson Davis.
He had a kick return for a touchdown last
week.
He's
very good. Yeah.
I just don't think Pisgah has the athletes to keep up with Brevard.
I think Pisgah gets out in the lead and –
Leans on them.
Mm-hmm. I just was seeing Pat say lean on them. I mean, they're more physical, Mike.
They are not.
Listen, they are
they're
more physical. 100% they're more physical.
They're more physical. And the fact that Lewis is going to deny that is crazy.
It's physical versus athletic.
It's
two differing styles.
Indeed. I saw a video of Landon Pope breaking one. And I'm like,
Listen, when I read Landon Pope, I think of it like a 275-pound running back, but he's not.
He is a big physical boy, but I saw it was a video of him breaking one during the Tuscola game, and it's like he ran past everybody. They're defensive backs and safeties. I was like, I know it's not Tuscola, is not Brevard. I understand that.
Wait, Tuscola's not Brevard?
Nope.
That's weird.
They don't have the same athletes that Brevard has. But yeah.
So Landon Pope, also a wrestler.
Yes, very accomplished wrestler.
Yep.
Very good wrestler.
How is Lewis going against him? It sounds like Landon Pope would be Lewis's favorite
football
player ever.
Yeah, that would be Lewis's guy. Should be.
Yeah, but we've said Brevard all year. I mean, I have. I said state championship, remember?
I do not remember.
I don't remember that. Please find that clip.
I can, yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. Oh, goodness.
So that's it for this week's games. Pat, send us home.
Indeed. Well, we've got to figure out a way to get together again for the holidays. So I'm curious. I hosted the Friendsversary, or not the Friends Thanksgiving.
I'll be happy to hold the Friends Christmas. Friendsmas. I don't know what you call it.
Friends Christmas. Now, what's that going to look like? Do we have Carson's Hallmark movies for that event? Yes. Or what are we
Carson
doing?
Carson will not show up unless Bill does.
Oh,
that,
wow.
That is true.
I'm here right now.
That's true. He's here every week.
Every Monday. Well, sort of. Except the time he almost put a hole in his head.
That's true.
I believe me, I would much rather have been here than everything I'm dealing with from that.
All right, Pat.
Well. Okay, here's an interesting question that we're going to have to actually work on as a group, I think, to make this one work. All right. If you could build a starting lineup using only players whose last names and last start was at least 10 years ago, so no one active after the 2015 season, but they're all magically in their prime, who's your quarterback? Who's your wide receiver? Defensive player? Who are we taking here?
All right, so I think Rico has to be the running back.
Are we talking about a high school?
What do you want to do? You want to do high school, college, pro? What do you think?
I mean, I can't name enough. I mean, it would be all Reynolds players, I believe.
Yeah, we'd have to probably do pro.
Let's do pro.
So yeah, I like that Rico Dowdle pick. I think that's a good one.
He was not playing pro in 2015.
You said they can't have played in the pros after 2015.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anybody? Well, I was thinking high school.
Yeah. All right. So maybe not then. Okay. So what do we got? Who's your quarterback?
Phillip Rivers.
You like Rivers?
Oh, Lord.
I love Phillip Rivers.
I was going to say, like, Brett Favre.
You like Brett?
I don't know. I mean, it's like all the GOATs are playing right now.
Yeah. And then Torrey Holt.
Wouldn't it be Kaepernick?
Colin Kaepernick?
You're the only 49ers fan.
Wow. I would go with...
Torrey Holt from the Rams.
Yes, Torrey Holt. When did Megatron? When did Calvin Johnson stop playing?
Calvin Johnson's pretty good.
Can you not go Moss?
Yeah, Moss has been out. I'd like Randy Moss.
If you want.
Let's do Randy Moss.
You got to do Randy Moss.
Now, what about, say, a Mark Rippon or a Doug Williams from those famed Redskins teams of old?
I don't know him, so I will go with what Pat says.
Doug Williams showed up for the Super Bowl. Carson was not even alive back then.
That's true. I think that was the 87 season, I think.
I was gonna say I want Walter Payton in the backfield.
Sweetness.
Ooh. Are you gonna say Jim McMahon as your quarterback?
No, but I
doesn't
like
it
him.
Have to be Montana?
Montana is a fantastic quarterback.
Wow.
Was he the Dolphins guy?
Shut the front door.
Dan Marino.
No. Now what about running back Barry Sanders?
He's pretty good.
Man. Yeah.
You know who I'm not picking? Nah, he was probably pretty good, but gosh, Deion Prime. I mean,
he's prime time.
Good. Yeah. Real good. Prime. But it's like, would he have been focused on football?
I mean, he played some baseball for the Braves.
Yeah. I don't know who else. I don't know offensive linemen.
Give me the Hogs. The 83 Hogs.
I mean, yeah. The Hogs.
They sound intimidating.
Oh, my. Absolutely. The offensive line for the Washington Redskins in 1983.
Yes.
Joe Jacoby. Randy White.
Is it safe to say, could we pick the 85 Bears for defense?
Yes. That is the greatest defense it's ever been fielded.
Were they legit?
That was the best defense ever fielded.
Could they play now?
The 85 Bears did lose to the Dolphins, just saying.
But could they play now?
In their prime? I think so, man. They had some dogs on that team, man.
Until someone gets 2 yards past them.
That's not true. They had great secondary. They had great linebackers. Singletary was back there. Golly, he was a machine.
Ditka, the coach.
Yeah.
They're going to guard Tyreek Hill.
I will say, though, you can say what you want about, but if your quarterback does not have time to throw the ball, deep threats do not hurt you.
That's true.
I've been seeing some games in the NFL where it's like they've had 10 sacks. Miles Garrett for the Browns is on a tear.
I gave up on the NFL about 7 weeks ago.
Yeah. So y'all beat the Bills, though.
Who's your tight end?
Antonio
Gonzalez.
Gates. Yeah. Tony Gonzalez, yeah.
Over Gronk.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Gronk played after 2015, but I would...
What's the guy That's who went to prison? Never What's mind. His name?
Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez, yes.
Rest in peace.
Gone forever.
God.
Pat, send us home. This is going nowhere.
All right. That'll do it for this week. Tune in next time. It's been great having you.